Joshua chapter number 5. I was planning to finish the message we began last week out of the New Testament, but felt led to go here this morning. And it may take, well, I will tell you, it'll take tonight as well to complete this one. This morning, I'm going to lay some groundwork and deal with a subject I know most of you that's been in church any length of time has heard of and knows about, but I feel like God has given us a word. But then tonight, I hope you'll come back. Tonight we're going to take a shift, and this phrase, really what I'm preaching on, I'll be preaching on tonight. it's a phrase that I've never seen before. I knew it was there, but it never spoke to my heart as it did and opened up a message I feel like we need. But just the prelude and what we're going to deal with this morning in the time that we have is good and necessary to get to where we're going. So hang with me this morning and be back tonight, and we will try to get to you what the Lord has given to us. Joshua chapter number 5, let's stand to our feet. We'll reverence God's word. Let you stretch a moment. And we're going to be reading verses 11 and verse 12, but keep your Bible open. We'll be looking at several other verses in the chapter. Verse 11, the Bible said, "And they did eat of the old corn of the land on the morrow after the Passover, unleavened cakes and parched corn in the selfsame day." Verse 12, which is our text verse, the Bible says, "And the manna ceased." And the manna ceased on the morrow after they had eaten of the old corn of the land, neither had the children of Israel manna any more. But they did eat of the fruit of the land of Canaan that year. You can have a seat. Thank you for standing. With the help of the Lord, I want to preach on the subject, "And the manna ceased." And the manna ceased. But before we get to the ceasing part, we got to go back and talk about for a few moments this morning, where did it come from? How did it appear? Manna's not something that you saw on your Thanksgiving table. It wasn't something we all took part in. Manna was a food given by God on a daily basis. It was a miraculous food. It was angels' food. And so, by way of introduction this morning, for 40 years, the children of Israel, we picked up reading, they have been, as you know, in the wilderness. They have been wandering in that barren desert land, having been delivered out of Egypt, which is a picture of salvation when God divided and split the Red Sea. They came out victorious and on the march, headed for a land that was called the Promised Land, the land of Canaan, that God had promised His children that He had a place for them, their own land. He made that promise way back to Abraham, and then He reaffirmed that. But here we are, over 40 years, they've been waiting to claim this inherited promise that God had given to Abraham and his descendants. In Genesis 13, verse 14 through 17, God made the following promise to Abraham. And the Lord, this is what it said, "And the Lord said unto Abram, after that Lot was separated from him, lift up now thine eyes and look from the place where thou art northward and southward and eastward and westward. For all the land that which thou seest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed forever. I will make thy seed as the dust of the earth, so that if a man can number the dust of the earth, then shall thy seed also be numbered. Arise, walk through the land in the length of it and the breadth of it, for I will give it unto thee." So there's where God made the promise, that Canaan land was going to be theirs. They had an inherited land, and they're still fighting over that land today. But we know that God gave that land to His children, to the apple of His eye, the Jewish nation. And so no matter what dignitaries and leaders of our day today, no matter what terrorist group comes in and claims stake and right to that land, God made the lines to that land. God gave the deed to that land to His people. So it ain't up for debate. God gave it to them, and now they're headed for that land. So the same promise was reaffirmed to each succeeding generation after Abraham went off the scene. In Genesis chapter 26, verse 3, God reminded Isaac, his son. He said, "Sojourn in the land, and I will be with thee, and I will bless thee. For unto thee and unto thy seed I will give all these countries, and I will perform the oath which I swear unto Abraham thy father." Then to Jacob, the next generation. Genesis 28, verse 13. "And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham thy father, and the God of Isaac. The land whereon thou liest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed. And thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth, and thou shalt spread abroad to the west and to the east and to the north and to the south. And in thee and in thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed." Then to Joseph. Genesis 50, verse 24, "And Joseph said unto his brethren, I die, and God will surely visit you and bring you out of this land unto the land which he sware unto Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob." Then Moses, Exodus chapter number 6, verse number 6, "Wherefore say unto the children of Israel, I am the Lord. And I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians, and I will rid you out of their bondage, and I will redeem you with a stretched out arm and with great judgments, and I will take you to me for a people, and I will be to you a God, and you shall know that I am the Lord your God, which bringeth you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians, and I will bring you into the land concerning the which I did swear to give it to Abraham, to Isaac, and Jacob, and I will give it to you for an inheritance. I am the Lord." I think God's trying to set it in their mind and set it in their heart. He's repeating himself over and over. Might I remind us all this morning, if God says something one time, it's enough. But when God, generation after generation, reminds his people, "I have swore to you, I have made an oath to you, I have made a vow and a promise to you," I guarantee you God will not forget that promise, and it shall come to pass. That ought to encourage you this morning, because God's made a lot of promises to us. And so those great promises from the Lord are on the verge of being fulfilled in our text. The children of Israel have survived 40 years of wandering in the wilderness. They've crossed over the Jordan River, and literally they're camping in Canaan. All that they have been through, all the battles, seeing the walls of Jericho fall, seeing the mighty miracles that God had wrought, now they're on the verge. They're camping in the land of Canaan, and they're there. But they're tired. They're weary. It's been a long journey. These tired, weary people are in a position to lay claim on the land that they've been promised. And many things are about to change for the nation of Israel, for these people. They're going to be fighting a series of battles against the Canaanites for the land that they will be that will be their home. Eventually, they will be given their inheritance, and they will settle down to the land of Canaan, where they will enjoy the rich blessings of the Lord. One of the major changes they face is mentioned in our text this morning. There's been something going on, if you remember. In the wilderness, you remember they came so far after God had delivered them out of Egyptian bondage, and they cried and they went to Moses and they pounded their fist and they said, "We want to go back to Egypt. We're hungry. We have no food." And God told Moses, "I will provide food." And the very in the midst of the night, in the darkness of the night, God rained down this angelic, majestic food. Enough for every man, woman, boy, and girl of his people. Not just one day, but every day. God was faithful to do it day in and day out. And yes, the children of Israel should have made it through the wilderness way quicker than 40 years. But God was faithful even in their pandering and even in their pettiness and even in their stiff neck and wondering. God stayed faithful and let the manna rain and let the manna fall every single day of their lives. Keep in mind, some children were born and they woke up and they discovered this thing, and they thought, this is what we have to eat. And for their entire life, all they had ever ate was manna. And now they're 40 years old. Some 40-year-old woman, some of you 40-year-old women, I just said young, y'all say amen. Some 40-year-old boy, man, and that's all they've ever had. They never had to work for it. They never had to plow a field. They never had to go out and hunt. They never had to go out and fish. God fed them by His hand, from their, God's hand to their mouth. It was just freely given. Every day except for the Sabbath, and on the day before that, God provided double. If anybody starved during this time, it was their own ignorance and their own fault, because God put it right in front of them. They didn't have to do anything for it. You say, why would you say all that and go through all that? Well, just hang with me. So as the people of Israel traveled through this wilderness, they were in a place where little food existed. I mean, there wasn't a lot of food to be found. God knew they needed help. And can I remind you, when you are in a wilderness, and God, listen, God promised you, you may look around and say, I don't know how we're going to make it through this. I don't see any food. I don't see any financing. I don't see any way out of this. God promised He would meet our needs according to His riches. And when you look around, it seems desolate and hard and barren. There's a God in heaven still leading you. There's a God in heaven who still has the cattle of 1,000 hills, and He'll see to it that you're fed and taken care of. Amen. He did for these children of Israel. And they, listen, keep in mind, there's about 2 to 3 million of them. That's a lot of food God was sending down from heaven every night. In response to their need for food, the Lord moved in a supernatural way. He gave them this substance called manna. And that's what we're preaching on. Manna. This morning, I want to take the remainder of my time and tell you what manna is and describe to you what manna is and what it, not only what it was, but and its purpose. And we just talked about its purpose. It was to feed and sustain the children of Israel. But I want to show you what it portrays. It has a much bigger meaning than just a meal. Don't you know that the Bible said that Jesus is the bread of life? That He will, listen, Jesus is that substance that will sustain you and keep you living. God was portraying even way back to Abraham. Matter of fact, before Abraham was, Jesus said, I am. And so God's letting us know that they are, through this manna, He's giving an allegory and a type and a picture of His Son that would be to come. They gave, God gave this substance called manna, which came down from heaven during the night. In the morning, all the people of Israel had to do, all they had to do was just walk out, kneel down, and pick it up. And they had enough food for them and their family for that day. On the day, as I mentioned before, the Sabbath, the Lord sent double the amount of manna so the people would not have to gather on the Sabbath day. So we're told in our verse that the manna ceased. And I promise we'll get there. And that's my heart, is to get to... And I'll just give you an insight before I deal with what manna is and what it portrays in pictures. Where I'm headed tonight is this. When we get saved, manna is not a picture of getting saved. That's after you get saved. They got the picture of getting saved was them being delivered out of Egypt, out of Pharaoh's bondage, walking through the Red Sea. That's the type of salvation. But after that picture of salvation, God is showing us that you don't just graduate and become a senior Christian automatically. There's a time of growth. There's a time of wondering. If you've been saved any time at all, you know God took handfuls of purpose. And along your Christian life, especially when you were young and you hadn't been saved long, God would come alongside you and assist you and help you and pour out grace on you when you didn't deserve it and you didn't know how to be a Christian. God would see to it. God would be very, very good to you, better than you deserve, better than I deserve. There'd be fresh mercy. There'd be fresh everything. God would just be good to His youngins. Amen. But there comes a time when the manna will cease. And God expects His youngins to grow up. And God expects His children to get off the milk, to get off that hand-to-mouth feeding, and God expects you to get out and go and take that He's given you, which is the blessed, abundant Christian life. God's got a bigger life for you than what we're living. God's got a more blessed life for us than what we're living. God don't want us living just hand-to-mouth. God's got a big land bursting with milk and honey that we've yet to experience. The victorious Christian life. And they never would have got there had not the manna ceased. There's coming a cutting off point in our lives where God will quit dropping the freebies out of heaven. And that's where we're headed. But before we get there, number one, let's look at what the manna pictured. The manna was a gift of God's grace to His people. To understand why He sent it to them, we need to turn back and look at Exodus 16. That passage teaches us that God sent the manna and what it represented. And I want to point out several truths about that are hidden in that substance called manna. Exodus chapter 16, verses 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5 talks about manna. The manna was sent in response, as I mentioned, to a complaint of the people. Verse 2, they were hungry and they missed the food that they used to have in Egypt. In verse 3, God tells Moses He will rain the bread down from heaven. Verse 4, God tells Moses that the manna will serve as a testing for the people of Israel. God will use their response to the manna to test their obedience to His law. In verse 5. Exodus 16, verse 14 through 35. I won't read all that. And all God's people said amen. That's about 20 verses. You can go home and read it. But this lengthy passage gives us several insights to manna and that are worthy of us to notice. Let me share them in an overview with us this morning. The manna was a clear picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. It was an Old Testament type sent from the Lord to paint a picture of a Savior He would send to this world. Notice the ways in which the manna pictured the Lord Jesus. Number one, it was small. You say, what's small about Jesus? Well, we're in the month that we celebrate the birth of that little baby boy born in Bethlehem. Exodus 16, 14 speaks of His humility. The Bible said, and when the dew that lay was gone up, behold, upon the face of the wilderness, there lay a small round thing, as small as the hoar frost on the ground. Small, little, seemed insignificant, but buddy, it got the job done. When Jesus showed up on planet Earth, listen, He may have looked small to the world, but He was coming as the reigning Lord of glory, coming to redeem all of mankind and forgive the sins of the world. What looked small was mighty big. And to those who were hungry and those who were starving, what may look small, I promise you, gets real big. We just ain't hungry enough. Now, I'm talking about physically. Look down at your belly and tell me you hungry. We ain't hungry. We ain't hungry. We got more than enough. And spiritually, Lord help us, we need to be hungry. This manna. Exodus 16, verse 14, and when the, as I just read, He is the creator of the universe. It's picturing Christ. John chapter 1, verse 3 talks about Him being the creator of the universe. Colossians 1, 16 and 17. He is God Almighty. Now, John 1, 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And then He humbled Himself and became a servant so that He might die for His people on the cross in Philippians 2, 5 through 8. What love, what grace, what a supreme condensation that God would come down. I mean, the very portrait of the manna coming down from God. That's what Jesus did. He made Himself of no reputation, and He condescended down to be handled of men, to feed men, every man, every woman, every boy and every girl. So not only was it small, but it was round. That verse said it was small and round, like a circle that has no beginning and no end. It was round. Jesus Christ is eternally God. He did not have a beginning at Bethlehem when He came and was born of a virgin. That wasn't His starting point. That was a birthing point that He robed Himself in flesh. But way before He ever robed Himself in flesh, the Lord Jesus Christ was God. Amen. And He forever shall be. Amen. Before Abraham was, I am. And just as He had no beginning, He shall have no ending. Wherefore, Hebrews 7:25, wherefore He is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto Him, unto God by Him, seeing He ever liveth to make intercession for them. In other words, if He's ever living, He ain't ever dying. Amen. No start and no ending point. He's our eternal Savior. So this manna was small and it was round, but this manna was also, the Bible tells us, it was white. Are you listening? Exodus 16:31, and the house of Israel called the name thereof manna, and it was like coriander seed, white, and the taste of it was like wafers made with honey. White like the purest of snow. The whiteness of the manna speaks of the purity of the Lord Jesus Christ. He was born into a world without taint, without blemish, without any speck of sin. Not a speck of dust, not one blemish. He was the spotless Lamb of God, pure and white. And that's what the manna is picturing and portraying. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 22, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. 1 John 3, 5, and ye know that He was manifested to take away our sins, and in Him is no sin. He was white as the driven snow. Hebrews 7, 26, for such an high priest became us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and made higher than the heavens. What a Savior. What a God. In fact, He was not even able to sin. He lived without sin so that He might die for sin on the cross. Only a sinless man could do that. Listen, a sinful man, many sinful men have died. But listen, never, not ever in the history of humanity had a sinless man been born. Because, listen, we all were born in sin. Every one of us, after Adam's sin, plunged humanity. Every child ever been born is born into sin because our father, Abraham, our father, who is he? Adam, I have Abraham. Abraham was stuck. One time I preached a message about Moses building the ark the whole time. I said, Moses was just building that ark. People was looking at me. Adam plunged us into sin. And every boy and every girl that's ever come out of the womb of a mother was born tainted, was born in sin, was born having been passed down from Pawpaw Adam, that awful thing called a sin nature. Everyone. So that means no man could save, because no man could offer to God what was needed. The pure, perfect holiness and righteousness laid on the altar until 2,000 years ago. God Himself said, I'll leave heaven, I'll leave my throne, and I'll go down to this wicked world where they'll hate me and they'll despise me. I'll take off my white robe and I'll condescend. I'll go down and I will be born, but not only be born perfect and pure, but I will live every single day of my life. Every word that comes out of my mouth, every thought that I have will be pure and holy. And He did. Never has there been a man born nor live like Jesus. And then they nailed Him to a tree for that. And they crucified Him for being perfect, for loving them to death. Never has there been a man die like that. And hallelujah, 3 days later, never has there been a man get up like that. His name was Jesus. And that is the gospel, which is the power of God unto salvation. The Bible said in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 26, "For then must He often have suffered since the foundation of the world, but now once in the end of the world hath He appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of Himself." Yes. So that manna was small and it was round and it was white, but then it came by night. If you look at Exodus chapter 16, verses 13 and 14, it describes how and when it came. Jesus Christ was born on a dark night in Judea. You read Luke, the Gospel of Luke, chapter 2, verse 1 through 11. He came to a world trapped in spiritual darkness and brought light to the world. Not only did He come by night, but He was misunderstood. This manna, it was misunderstood. So was Jesus. By those who found the manna, they didn't understand what it was. Let me tell you what the Bible, listen, Exodus 16, 15, the Bible says, "And when the children of Israel saw it, they said one to another, it is manna, for they wist not what it was. And Moses said unto them, this is the bread which the Lord hath given you to eat. They called it manna, which means, what is it?" They didn't understand. They couldn't comprehend. They looked at it. They viewed it. Paid close attention, and after all that speculation, and they just said, "What is it?" And ain't that how the world looks at Jesus? They don't understand Him. They don't comprehend Him. They inspect Him. They read about Him. They lure at Him, and they look at Him, only to leave saying, "We don't understand it. What is He? He must be an imposter like all the others." But no, my friend, that manna was pure, sent from heaven bread. And the Lord Jesus was pure God, came down to man. What a Savior. He came down, John 1:11, He came unto His own, and His own received Him not. Even His own people didn't know what to do with Him. Read the accounts and do some study about His own family. They called Him a lunatic and crazy. His own brothers and sisters. They said, "What is He? What is He doing?" John 10, 20, "And many of them said, He hath a devil and is mad. Why hear ye Him?" They still saying that about Him today. Why hear ye Him? I tell you, he's the only one you need to hear. You ain't mad. Well, I tell you, you ain't crazy if you love Jesus. Yes, those who don't are, and they need an enlightening from the Lord. They need to be saved by the grace of God. That manna was sufficient for every person's need, as Jesus is. Exodus 16, verse 17 and 18, and the children of Israel did so and gathered some more, some less. And when they did meet it with an omer, he that gathered much had nothing over, and he that gathered little had no lack. They gathered every man according to his eating. For 40 years the manna was sufficient for the young ones and the old ones, for everyone in between. The manna was right for everybody, just exactly what they needed. Not too much, not too little. I'm here to tell you, Jesus is exactly what you need every day of your life. He ain't overwhelming. He ain't undermining. He's exactly what you need. Amen. Down to the minute detail. This young girl, the growing boy grew into manhood off the nourishments of the manna. The young girl grew into womanhood by eating the manna. It sustained the rich and the poor. It fed the leader and the follower. It was good enough to sustain the lives of the entire congregation of Israel for 40 years. Boy, don't that remind you of one named Jesus, who is the all-sufficient Savior. Acts 4:12, the Bible said, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. John 14:6, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Amen. That manna was small, and it was circular, and it was white, and it met the, but then finally it was sweet to the taste. The taste of the manna was like, as we just read, wafers made with honey. Sweet. No doubt it was a pleasant surprise to everyone who had placed it on their tongue. What a picture of Jesus. There ain't nobody ever tasted of Jesus. Ain't nobody ever partook of Jesus and said, ooh, what a canker taste. Ooh, what a bad taste. What a foul. No, my friend. If you've ever tasted of the Lord, you know and go away saying, oh, he's good. He's wonderful. That's the best thing I've ever had.
Amen.
That's right. That's what the psalmist said when he said, this way, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. That has been my experience, and I'm guessing if you're saved, it's been yours. I said finally, this is finally. It was to be kept, this manna was to be kept and passed to others. I'm talking about what this manna pictured. It pictured Christ. It was to be kept, but not just kept, it was to be passed. Listen to Exodus chapter 16, verse 32. And Moses said, this is the thing which the Lord commandeth, fill an omer of it, to be kept for your generations, that they may see the bread wherewith I have fed you in the wilderness when I brought you forth from the land of Egypt.
Amen.
It was to be kept, but it was to be shared. And ain't that a picture of Jesus? When you get it, you can't. Jesus is the same way. He's to be shared with those who cross our path. That ain't my opinion. That's what Jesus said as he was leaving this earth. The Gospel of Matthew 28, verse 19. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even until the end of the world. Amen. See how even in that verse, he said, keep me. Preacher Tess, here, I'm sure you said, well, I know you're such a great preacher. You never have to ask for an amen. Some of them black churches, them black preachers will say, can I get a witness? That's right. Mark chapter 16, verse 15, and he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. In other words, take what I've given you and keep it. But while you keep it, share and give it. Ain't you glad he delivered you?
Amen.
And I'm making the transition. I'm done for this morning. But ain't you glad you ain't back in Egypt under the bondage of Pharaoh's devil and sin, a slave to sin. But he set you free. And then, if that wasn't enough, when you got to a hard place in your young Christian journey, the God of heaven and the hand of an almighty God began to feed you from his hand to your mouth.
Amen.
Every time you need it.
Amen.
And not just you, but your family.
Amen.
Your children. And everybody you love. The manna serves as a brilliant picture of the Lord Jesus. The manna serves to remind us of who Jesus is and what he came to do. If you've never bowed to him, repented of your sins, and believed the gospel, you need to come to Jesus by faith today and be saved from your sins. That's the picture we find in manna. That's what it pictured. This evening, we're going to look at what manna provided. And not only what it provided, but then we're going to finally look at, and it'll be the heart of the message, is what the manna promised. What it pictured, what it provided, and then what it promised. There is a promise. It was in our verse. Think about it today. And the manna ceased. And I want you to leave here this morning thinking that I'm saying Jesus is going to cease because I just give you a picture saying, compare. No, Jesus will never cease, but the manna did. And it will in your life and in mine at some point. We'll deal with that tonight. Let's stand together. Father, in Jesus' name, have your will, have your way. I pray you'd help us to take your word to our hearts this morning. Oh God, thank you for Jesus. From the depths of our heart, how grateful we are for Jesus. Father, thank you for being so loving, that you so loved the world, you gave the only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth, oh God, thank you for letting whosoever's in. Thank you, God, for putting it down low where anybody could have it. All we had to do was walk out of our house and bend down, bow down, and pick it up and put it to our mouth. That's the faith you required of us. That manna would have did no good, Lord, had you dropped it right in front of them and they simply passed it by and never partook of it. I pray if there's anybody here this morning lost and undone and have never tasted of the manna from heaven, I pray this would be the day they see Christ and they will kneel down, pick it up, and pursue it. Take of it and be saved. For those of us that are saved, Lord, help us, God, as we go through this day, that we'll meditate on these verses. God, that we'll meditate on what's coming when the manna ceases. Have your will and have your way in Christ's name. Amen. Amen. All right.